How is everybody?
I'm doing great, man.
Jerk tried to call back a couple times.
Patton, if he calls again, put me on the phone with him off air. I'll set him straight.
We'll do. I'll give him Taylor Lewan's number, maybe.
Yeah, just give him my number. I'll go meet him somewhere and talk to him.
Is Ryan on? All right, Ryan Callahan, Go Vols 24/7. Hey, Ryan, what's up, man?
Hey, Ryan.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Been an interesting start to the show.
Some drunk blank hole from Cincinnati. We know it's Cincinnati because it had the area code right on the phone. Just calls up and just starts giving us all kind of crap, asking us why the Titans wouldn't give the Oilers' name back to Houston or to the Texans. And we tried to tell
it. Playoffs, man.
Yeah, they don't want it.
Love it.
Yeah, But this guy's, hey, we just told him come spend all your money and then go back home.
Exactly.
Okay?
Exactly. Oh, man. Anyway,
go ride a tavern and go back home.
Yep. Isaiah Neyor, the Wyoming, he was coming to Tennessee, the wide receiver, now going to Texas. Big deal, no big deal, what, right in the middle?
It's hard to say it's anything but a big loss for Tennessee. There's no way around it. And this, this is kind of an example. It doesn't happen much. We don't see it often with transfers, but this is an example of what can happen sometimes in these transfer recruitments. These transfers get to use up to 5 official visits if they want to, so they can they can kind of look around a little bit. And this is a guy who, went on the market and just a few days before Christmas. So he's mostly exploring his options during the dead period, and he got to start taking some visits earlier this month. Went to USC first, and then commits to Tennessee without visiting Tennessee or Texas. So the timing seemed a little odd to begin with. But then he goes ahead and takes a visit to Ole Miss after that, and then takes his official visit to Tennessee, acts like he's shutting it down, and then decides to show up at Texas this week for a visit. So just one of those situations where a guy thought he had a decision made, that the recruiting process is already rushed, and then it gets a little complicated for him when some of these other schools don't give up on him. And obviously the home state school he's originally from, Texas, ends up winning out. But this is a guy who would have been a plug-and-play starter for Tennessee. Really athletic, just kind of flew under the radar in high school for a couple different reasons, but put up big numbers at Wyoming, had 12 of their 15 touchdown catches this season. So he was, I think, a guy that Tennessee was really excited about adding, and now kind of at the last minute he decides to flip to Texas. So Tennessee still has to pursue some other options at wide receiver, where obviously they've got a lot of production to replace with Javonte Payton and Bayless Jones on the way out.
What about Jared Verse? How big is that to lose this kid?
Well, yeah, and that one was a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
So that's a couple examples of Tennessee, missing out on some higher profile transfers. That was another one that kind of had Tennessee fans upset at the time, because it looked like that one was trending toward Tennessee. He never outright committed to Tennessee, but it was a Tennessee Florida State battle all the way down the stretch. And he kind of delayed his decision a couple days longer than expected at first, and ends up picking the Seminoles over the Vols. So that was a highly touted pass rusher transferring from Albany, an FCS school, but who put up good numbers there and still had a few years of eligibility left. And a lot of people were excited about his upside. So Florida State beating out Tennessee for him kind of added to the sting, I think, of them losing Isaiah Neyor as well. I think there was a little more confidence from Tennessee fans that, given Tennessee's offensive production and Josh Heupel's resume in terms of producing offensive numbers, that Tennessee would be able to hold on to a guy like Isaiah Neyor. So now having a couple losses like that in the portal, it's been a little frustrating for Tennessee fans, especially because they've had to be a little more selective in the portal. Not a lot of room to maneuver around with the numbers right now. And so they've seen South Carolina and some other SEC teams being really active with the transfer portal. And now Tennessee, only going after a handful of guys, and now they've had a couple sort of high-profile misses. So tough break for Tennessee, but that's kind of the way it's going to go sometimes with the transfer portal, I think.
Is the new rules they can bring in 32 if they're, what do they call them, misplaced or transfer portal casualties or whatever, that however they want to term that, but are they going to be able to bring in 32 instead of the 25?
They technically could, but I think the way it works out, it's probably going to be hard for Tennessee to get to that number this year, with the main reason being, at least for the spring for sure, and we'll see beyond that, they're dealing with some numbers issues. I think Tennessee, there's a thought that, or we certainly heard a lot of talk and have reason to believe they're going to be self-imposing some scholarship limitations that are hindering their ability to get to that 32. So we'll see what they end up self-imposing, how that ultimately impacts them. But I think at least for now, you have to assume they're going to have a hard time getting to 32. But certainly, I think at least closer to 30 is the expectation that after spring practice, once the numbers are a little bit more relaxed and they probably have some other guys leave the program, they should have room to take several more transfers. It's just right now the numbers have been a little tight. So probably somewhere in the 27 to 30 range is where they end up for this class, but still room to add several more guys and address some needs on both sides of the ball.
Ryan, the NCAA convention, its constitution is about as worth the paper it's written on, right? They're blowing that. I mean, I'm seriously, because they were so late to the party on the transfer portal. They're so late to the party on the NIL. And now they're trying to catch up, and it's pretty much a unanimous movement, and the Power Fives especially driving it. But the deal now where schools or players or teams – more schools and teams won't get punished for previous grievances, i.e. Jeremy Pruitt. So this looks like that possibly the potential of a bowl ban won't come through, and then whatever sanctions there are, it'll go against the people who committed it and not necessarily the players and coaches who are there now.
Yeah, that was certainly good news for Tennessee. I think there were a couple things discussed at the NCAA convention that sort of what were – more or less in intended to address, or Tennessee was certainly hoping they would address their case in some form or fashion. That was obviously a big one. And the other thought was that, will schools continue to be punished severely when they cooperate with the NCAA in these investigations the way Tennessee has? Because there are plenty of past examples of schools who've kind of offered themselves up to the NCAA, cooperated all throughout the process alongside them. And then when it comes to the end of the investigation, they still kind of get hammered. They're not getting rewarded for being upfront about the violations. So, I think there are a couple reasons for Tennessee to at least be more optimistic now about its chances of not being hammered. But the big thing is avoiding that bowl ban. I think they've got a pretty good sense of what their self-imposed penalties are likely to be at this point. We'll see what they ultimately announce. But I think they know they're going to have to deal with some scholarship losses, other recruiting restrictions, maybe evaluation days, things like that. So they'll be dealing with some of those types of things. But their goal all along has been to avoid a bowl ban, and obviously to avoid paying Jeremy Pruitt his buyout.
$12 million, something like that. Yeah.
So those were the goals in the beginning, and it looks like they are probably going to avoid that bowl ban. So that's obviously big news, and it sort of goes along with what's been their playbook from the start. But yeah, the NCAA's at least started to look into that, get a little more serious, realizing that they've got to speed up these investigations. They drag on for years, and they've got to start being a little more lenient in their penalties to the schools that are actually cooperating, or else you're not going to have anyone cooperating, and you need that more and more because the NCAA is spread so thin with how many different investigations they have going at one time, especially now because they were backed up last year and the year before because of COVID.
Ryan Callahan is our guest, Go Vols 24/7. Ryan, obviously men's hoop, they get the win the other night at Vanderbilt, LSU this weekend. What do we know about Triple J's status for that game?
Well, we'll see. I think there's at least some optimism there that he will be back. But, that's the big thing is, I think, having a win under their belt, feeling some confidence at least coming off the win Tuesday at Vanderbilt, that was big to sort of start to get over this recent skid they've had, because that was really there were so many questions about this team and this program coming off that Kentucky game on Saturday, just such a defensive letdown, and everyone kind of questioning the attitude, the energy of that team, the effort. It just didn't look like the same types of teams we've been used to seeing under Rick Barnes. So to have that, to get that win and to sort of get back on the right track was a big step. But yeah, we'll see about Josiah Jordan James. I think there's at least a good chance he's back. But hard to say for sure what's going to happen there. Rick Barnes is kind of updated his status a little bit and said that they're counting on it. He's working his way back, is how he said it. But you know, they don't really know for sure just yet, and it'll be so obviously something to watch as we lead up to tomorrow's game against LSU, a team that handled them just a couple weeks ago, but that that obviously Tennessee's going to have a tough time with, even at home, where they've played better than they have on the road.
Go ahead, John.
I was just going to say, Barnes making the decision to bring Folke off the bench and start Plavsic. Do you think that's something we're going to see going forward?
Yeah, I think at least for the foreseeable future, you might. We'll see how they approach that long term. But I think for now, that's probably going to be the plan. You know, it could be more of a game to game thing, but it worked out okay for one night. So I think you'll probably see it continue a little bit. And I think things are going to be more game to game for a little while. You know, if things don't work against LSU, you'll probably see them try to make some more changes. I think they got to a point after the Kentucky game that they were ready to just kind of start throwing things against the wall and see what sticks. And it's not often you see that from a Rick Barnes team. He had previously been pretty stubborn, even in some public comments here to the Knoxville Tip-Off Club, kind of indicating that, hey, you guys want to see some freshmen play that aren't playing more? Well, let's throw them out there and see what they do. They're probably going to struggle. He kind of defended his willingness to stick with some veterans through some struggles. And now, I think earlier this week he was ready to just shake things up entirely. So if they struggle more, I think you'll see continued lineup changes. But I think based on what they saw Tuesday night, it was progress. So I think you probably see that lineup stick around for at least one more game and just kind of see how it goes from there. But it's certainly not a situation where they feel they're completely past those struggles. They even had a hard time with Vanderbilt a little bit Tuesday night. That game was not completely in the bag throughout the game. So if they struggle again, I don't think he'll hesitate to shake things up. And, that could mean John Fulkerson going back into the starting lineup at some point.
Yeah, that 8-point spread was misleading. I mean, it was 60-60 with, under 2 minutes to go?
Yeah, and then Pippen Jr. hit that big three to tie it late,
And then Plastic with the offensive rebound and putback. And I would claim then the steal by Ziegler and getting fouled. I don't think they win that game without Ziegler, quite frankly.
Yep. He's been a spark plug for this team and huge. And at times, sometimes there have been some games where he's played better than Kennedy Chandler has and been sort of the guy they can count on at point guard. Even though Chandler's obviously the guy with the NBA upside and all that, that a lot of people are excited about his future, Ziegler's been a good fit for this team and played really well in some spots. So, they got a lot out of him Tuesday night in some big spots. And, I think you'll continue to see that from him. He's a well-liked player. Tennessee fans are really, really starting to enjoy Zakai Ziegler, what they've seen so far this year.
And that kind of game, I think, and for Vanderbilt as well, although they lost, that had a intensity factor to it that even a rivalry game like this, those two teams were, obviously the little with Studi and Vescovi and then all of the stuff, and it got, and then even with the Triple J getting the inadvertent elbow. This, I think, they needed a game like that. They were pushed and had to win it at the end.
Yeah, I think so too. And I wonder if you saw just the overall frustration of that team, just where they were sort of boiling over with a couple of those moments. Because they had a feistiness to them that we've not seen a lot. They were very clearly in need of a win, and obviously that. That Vanderbilt team, maybe was just playing the right style to get under their skin a little bit too. They showed some feistiness, and were things got a little bit chippy at times. So we'll see if we see a little more of that. But this team, needed to show an edge. There was some talk behind the scenes about the way the team sort of responded after the Kentucky loss. Not enough veterans kind of upset in the locker room and things like that. So they responded better against Vanderbilt and clearly showed more fight. And I think that's a good sign for this team moving forward.
Ryan, I know he had a horrible shooting night the other night, but overall I've been pretty impressed with Zakai Ziegler's ability to kind of run the show in the half court. What are your overall thoughts on him?
Yeah, he's like I said earlier, he's a spark plug. He's a quick guy that can make a lot of things happen. And this team struggled to find a point guard at times in recent years. Didn't really have a true point guard on some of these other teams that Rick Barnes has had. And now this year to have a couple guys they can count on there in Kennedy Chandler and Ziegler, that's a big deal. And he's, at times he's been more effective than Chandler. Just depends on the game. But I think he's a nice player. And Rick Barnes said when he found him, he was sort of an under the radar guy from New York, and said, you know, I think people are really going to like this guy, and I think that's been kind of the case so far. He's been a nice addition, and gives them a second guy who can kind of break things down and distribute the ball and score some as well, obviously, in some big spots. So he has been a nice addition for Tennessee, and certainly a good find for Rick Barnes' staff out in New York.
I guess the countdown to baseball season started over there now too, right? It's hard to believe.
Well, it made a – there was a mention of it on the GoVols 24/7 message board that it was a month away. We don't usually see that. There is a little bit of excitement over it, so we'll see once the season gets here. But, hey, it is almost here, and I think there will at least be a lot more attention paid to that program after what happened last year.
Thanks, Ryan. We'll talk to you next Friday morning. Have a good weekend, Ryan. Buddy.
You too. Sounds good, guys. Thanks.
You know, the NFL.